19, we on, come on. Hey, we ain't going to be in no dead church now. I got to hollering over there, man, the Holy Ghost is getting hooked up over there. Ryder got to hollering, his mama's telling him to hush. I want him to know church ain't dead, amen. We don't serve no dead God, our God's alive, amen. He's on the mountaintops this morning, and in the evenings. Anytime in your life, he's on the mountaintop, Brother Gary. He's on the mountaintop, amen. If you don't know where he is, just look to the mountain. You'll find him. This morning, you can't dodge a punch when you don't know where it's coming from. Got a thought that's laid on my heart. God is with us. I've been preaching that. And he's with us when we're fighting the good fight. Amen. Thank you for that, brother. If you have a copy of God's word, I ask you to turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter number 6 this morning. And we're going to look this morning at fighting the good fight. Fighting the good fight. Have you ever been in a fight before? Can I get an amen? I'm not talking about a physical fight. I can look and tell some of you have. Hello? Man, Valentine's done got a hold of y'all. You broke. I can see it on you. Had to buy flowers and chocolate and all that kind of stuff. You done depressed this morning. Can I say it'll get better? God is with us. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse number 6. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word. Boy, I'm thankful for this crowd. Boy, I'm thankful for God's faithfulness, ain't you? Boy, I'm thankful this morning for a lot of things. And I sure am thankful for the good fight of faith that we're in. You know, this morning when you got born again, you didn't sign up for nothing but a fight. It's a fight that you're in. It's a battle every day of your life. It's a fight. You can't do what you used to do. There's a war going on the inside. There's a war battling on the inside of you. The Holy Ghost having its way, and oh, Satan wants to have his way. But can I say to you this morning, it is a good fight. Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter number 6, and verse number 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition for the love of money. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickened all things before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keepest this commandment without spot, unrebukable unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall so show, who is blessed, the only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, our Father and our God. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for this morning that you've allowed us to come to your house and worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, I thank you for the songs that's been sung. I thank you that we can lean on the everlasting arms. I thank you that there is a mountain that we in our life that we can go to. I thank you this morning that when the punch comes, Father, Lord God, that we can see you clearly in everything. That you are the one that is on our side. You are the one that is our defense. You are the only King. You are the only Lord. You are the only potentate this morning. Father, I'm talking to the one this morning that just needs a word of encouragement. Lord, I pray you encourage the one that is discouraged today. You would heal the one that's broken. You would mend back what needs to be mended. You would set free the one that's bound. You would give liberty to those that need it this morning. Father, I pray that your word would go forth. I'd ask you to guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let me not say anything about me. Let my opinions and my thoughts be cast away. And let me preach, thus saith the word of God. Father, this morning I love you and I thank you. I glorify you. You are my King and you are my Lord. And I thank you that you're beside us this morning. Have your will and way. And we ask it in no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated this morning that God is with us this morning. We know that in Matthew chapter number 1, the Bible says that God is with us. But as we come this morning into 1 Timothy, we see that God is with us in the good fight. He is with us when we're in that good fight, when you need to fight the fight of faith and you need to stand the test of time and you don't know what to do. Can I say that God is with us? Paul commanded and charged young Timothy here in the sight of God to fight the good fight of faith. Hey, this morning as your pastor, I want to charge you this morning to fight the good fight of faith. I want you to know it's worth fighting for this morning. Don't you give up and get in. You keep fighting the good fight of faith. As a believer, we also have that responsibility to fight that good fight of faith. And the only way we can fight the good fight of faith this morning is that God is with us this morning in our life. Here, Paul laid it out clearly for Timothy and us how to fight that good fight of faith. If you'll look with me, if you will, in verse number 11, he said, "But thou, O man of God," if you're going to fight the good fight that God has put you in, and you're going to fight that walk that we're walking, you must be a man or a woman of God this morning. You must be born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You must be a child of God this morning. Here, Paul told young Timothy, he said in verse number 11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness." I see, number one, this morning, we must flee corruption. We must not be caught up in a corruptible lifestyle this morning if we're going to fight the good fight of faith. We must not be caught up in corruption. We must flee it. You say, "Preacher, what is it to flee corruption? What do I do to get away from that?" This morning, that word there in verse number 11, "flee these things," he said, "I want you to escape. I want you to run away or vanish." Or don't linger around. Don't you linger around the wrong crowd. Don't you linger around places that'll get you in trouble. When you see that old snare has been laid out in front of you, you get away from it. Don't you flee that. But he said, "I want you to flee these things." And you say, "Preacher, what are these things?" Look with me, if you will, in verse number 3 of the same text. And here's what he said. He said, "I want you to flee these things. If any man teach otherwise, that God is the head, that he is the one in control, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness." He said, if you get around a man of God and he tries to teach you anything that is not godly, you flee it and you get away from it. I don't care what church you go to. I don't care what preacher you listen to on TV. You listen to me this morning. You flee corruption. Don't you get caught up in the things of this world. Don't you get caught up with the crowd. If you want to get caught up with somebody this morning, you get up caught up with Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? He said he wanted you to flee corruption, flee that false teaching, run from it, get away from it. And here's the teaching that they were teaching in verse number 4. "He is proud, knowing nothing, but doubting about questions and strifes of words. Wherefore cometh envy and strife, railings and evil summerings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness." He said, if somebody tries to teach you that the only way you know that you're godly is that you're gaining in this life, he said, "Oh, you flee from him." You listen to me this morning. Hey, you can gain this world and lose your own soul. Hey, you can gain the good of this world. You can have a pocket full of money. You can have good all your life and still leave this world and die and go to a devil's hell. It ain't what we gain on this side. Can I get an amen? Hey, whatever you gain on this side, you will leave behind one day. Hey, when you leave this walk of life, you say, "Preacher, I thought the more I gained, the better I was with Christ." Friends, that's not the Bible this morning. I want you to know, flee that false teaching. Get away from it. Get away from that. When they try to tell you that gain is godliness, that is not true this morning. Amen. Man, I've seen some people that's been hooked up in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you what, if you walked into their home and you look what they lived in, you wouldn't think they knew very much about God. Hey, but can I say to you this morning, what you got doesn't mean if you know God or not. It's what's living in your heart will let you know if you know the Christ or not. Flee from false teaching in verse number 3. But in verse number 7, don't you only flee from false teaching. Hey, but you flee from greed. Don't let greed come up in your life. Don't let covetousness come up in your life. You know what this is, and I'm telling you, when you get a hand in your hand, all it does is this, and you won't release the blessings of God that he's given you in your life, and you say, "That's my money, that's my wealth, that's my stuff." Hey, guess what? When you close your hand, God closes his hand. Can I get an amen? Hey, but when you release that hand, you release the hand of God, and he says this morning, flee from false teaching and flee from greed. Look with me in verse number 7. You say, "Preacher, you don't know what I got." But I don't know what you got, but I know what you got will stay here when you go over yonder. Hello, amen. I know what you got will not go with you over yonder. The only thing you can take over yonder is what you done laid up over yonder. He says in verse number 7, for we brought nothing into this world. You brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. He said, having food and raiment. If you got food in your belly and clothes on your back, be content. Look what he says. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. He said, preacher, is it a sin to be rich? No, it's not a sin to be rich. It is not a sin to be rich. The sin is when you let your richness rule you and reign over you and take you where you need to go. Then it's got control over you instead of you having control over it. Flee false teaching, flee greed, and flee from the root of all evil. Look what he said. For the love of money, that man that loves that money, I'm telling you what, you be careful in what you love. You be careful in your bank account, how you love it, and the money you got in your pocket. You make sure when God says release it, you let it go. You make sure that it ain't got a hold on you. He said, for the love of money is the root of all evil. He said, preacher, I don't believe that. And I can tell you right now, the Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which some covet after they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many, many sorrows. He says this morning to fight that good fight of faith that God is with us. Number one, you see in verse number 11, we must flee corruption. But number two, I want to give you this, we must follow closely to God. We must follow closely to Him. Look what He said in verse number 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness. You say, what should I follow, preacher? I want to say to you this morning, when you flee corruption and you get away from them things as a man or a woman of God, you must follow closely to what God has called you to do. You say, what do we follow closely to? Let's look in the Bible. He says in verse number 11, follow after what? Follow after righteousness. Follow after godliness. Follow after faith. Follow after love. Follow after patience. Follow after meekness. You say, what will that do in my life, preacher? It'll show the world that you're a man or a woman of God when you line up with the book. Amen. Romans 14 in verse number 16, the Bible says, let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 20 says, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. I want to say to you this morning, it won't take long to know what side a person's on when they get in the fight of faith by the fruit that they bear. It won't take long. You let things come against them and you let things rise up in their life, Brother Gary, and they find themselves in the valley of life and they find themselves deep down and they don't know where to go or don't know where to turn. It won't take long. The fruit will show where they're at. But you take a man of God or a woman of God and you find them in the valley and they ain't worried about what's going on. All they're telling you is God got this. Hey, God's on my side. I'm not worried about what the world can do. Hey, God's got me. Amen. That's when you fight the good fight of faith. That's when you stand the test of time. That's when everything's coming against you and you can stand flat-footed and say, God's got it under control. Amen. Man, I'm telling you, that's when you fight that good fight of faith. He said, flee corruption and follow closely. He said, preacher, what are you talking about, follow closely? Get right where God would have you to be and fight courageously. Now, if I'm going to flee corruption and I'm going to follow closely, I must be ready to fight courageously. I must be ready to fight courageously. Look what he said in verse number 12. He said, fight the good fight. The fight in our Christian life. And by the way, if you're not fighting right now as a Christian, I'd be careful and make sure that I am a Christian. He said you'll know them by their fruit. I know a lot of Christians that's in a battle right now that's fighting. That's fighting. In the world we live in, if this everything's going good in your life and there's no fight and there's no fuss and there's nothing going on, you might want to check and make sure where you're at and who you know. Because it's a fight when you get to be a born-again child of God, walking in the flesh and walking in the spirit and battling against both. You say, preacher, do you believe that? I believe that so much in my life. It's a good fight that you fight. When you hear things that are wrong, you don't cower down and back up. What do? You stand on your feet and you say, no, that's not what the Word of God says. I stand on the book. I stand on the Word. Do you remember over there in the book of Joshua? You know what God had told Joshua? He said, my servant Moses is dead. And he told Joshua, he said, you're going to lead lead them into the promised land. And Joshua went on and he talked to the men and he talked to them all the way through, Brother Gary. But when you get over there to Joshua chapter number 5, they were fixing to go into Jericho. And old Joshua looked up and he said he was next to Jericho. And when he looked up, he seen the angel of the Lord. He seen the captain of the Lord's army. And when he looked at that angel of the Lord, or the captain of the Lord's army, he had his sword drawn. And when he looked at him, he asked him, he said, "Whose side are you on? Are you on our side or are you on their side, the enemy side?" And you know what the angel of the Lord said? He said, "I ain't on nobody's side. I'm just here to take over." Folks, listen to me this morning. God ain't on your side. He ain't on my side. We got to get on His side. Listen, He don't conform to us. We conform to Him. He don't transform to us. We transform to Him. We go to where He is. Amen. And we get what He wants us to do. And Joshua, you know what he did? He went into Jericho and he defeated Jericho. He had 40,000 troops. He took them troops, went in. He destroyed Jericho. But if you get on over in there, and I'm talking about, you got to fight courageously. You got to stand up. Don't you give up. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm in an easy time right now in my life." That's when you need to be fighting the most. When it's easy, you better get ready to fight. He defeated Jericho like you ain't never seen. Noise went abroad and said he became well known. But in Joshua chapter number 7, a little bitty town, a little bitty nation called Ai. You know what? They didn't even pray about it. They didn't even pray about going to fight. They didn't even pray about standing up for God. You know what Joshua did? He talked to his men instead of talking to God. When you got a problem, don't talk it to the people around you. You take it to God. You know what he did there? He got over to Ai. He done defeated Jericho, a mighty man of God. But when he got to Ai, you know what he did? He didn't even pray about it. He didn't even ask God about it. He said, "I got 40,000 troops. I can send 30,000. You know what his men said? He said, "You don't need to send all of them. Let them rest. Let them take it easy. Just let them back down. Let them take it easy." You know what Joshua did? He sent 3,000 men. That's all he sent out of 30,000. He sent 3,000 men to Ai. And you know what they did? The Bible said they got it handed to them. And they went back with their, well, you know what I'm talking about. They went back defeated. They went back defeated because they didn't fight courageously. And when he got back, oh, Joshua, in Joshua chapter number 7, he got down on his knees before God and he got to praying, asking God what was the problem. You know what God told Joshua? He said, "You need to pray now. Get up. You know where the sin is. You know what's going on in your life. You know what you've coveted after. You know aching. You know what's going on. You know the sin that's in the camp. You know what's besetting you. You know what's holding you back. You want to follow me closely, but you got to get away from the corruption and you got to get courageous." He said, "Preacher, if I call it out in my family, boy, it's going to tear up everything. If you don't, it's going to cost everything. Let sin stay in your home and see if it won't cost you everything. Let sin linger around and see if it won't cost you. Let sin hang around and see if it won't cost you." You know what Joshua did? Joshua got up and took care of matters. But when he went back next time, Brother Hagin, you know how many troops he carried? 30,000. He quit listening to people when he got listening to God. We got to follow courageously. Let me show you this in the Bible right here. As we follow courageously, not only do we get to that place where we fight courage, we follow courageously. It's a good fight. Ephesians 6:16, the Bible says, "And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." If you're going to fight the fight of faith, you've got to have your sword. Turn with me, if you will, this morning to Ephesians chapter number 6. I want to show you this sword that I'm talking about. Ephesians chapter number 6. Let me show you this in the Bible. I'm talking about fighting that fight. I'm talking about getting on the side with the Lord and doing what God's called you to do. You got to get that sword of the Spirit up. You got to get your sword up. You got to have your sword. You got to have it. Number one, I want to say to you this morning, if you're going to fight courageously, you're going to have to know your sword. You're going to have to know it. You're going to have to know it's sharp. You're going to have to know it's ready. You can't wait for battle and pull out your sword. You got to have your sword already up. Look what he says in Ephesians 6 and verse number 17. "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." I say to you, number one, this morning, you're going to have to know your sword. You're going to have to know what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, or rightly dividing" what? "The word of truth." You get that sword, you know it. You put that word in your heart. You dig that word deep down in your heart. You get it deep down in there. Don't let your money, don't let your material things take over the word of God in your life. You listen to me this morning. The word of God's got you where you are today. Amen.
You stand on that this morning. You stand on that word. You know that word. You put that word in your heart. You're not always going to have this Bible, but the word you can always have hid in your heart. You got to know it. If you're going to fight, you got to know your sword. You got to know it. Can I say too, if you're going to fight, you're going to have to trust it. You're going to have to trust what you've been taught. You're going to have to trust if you're going to fight the good fight of faith. There's going to come times the preacher ain't around. There's going to come time the church ain't around. Hey, going to come time your buddy or whatever won't answer the phone. It's only going to be you and God and the Word of God. And you got to know it. You got to know it in your heart. You got to be ready to trust it. I want to ask you this week, when was the last time you used the Word of God and trusted it? You claim that Word over your life and over your kids and over your marriage and over your family and over everything you got. And you said, God, your Word said it, and I'm going to trust it. You not only got to know it, but you got to trust it. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 5, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know what? When you get into that battle and you start fighting courageously and you turn it over to God, can I say to you, he'll fight that battle in your life. He'll take care of what's going on. He'll lead you in the right direction. He'll lead you where you need to go in life. Let me share this with you. Not only in Ephesians, we see we got to know it and we got to trust it. There comes a time in your life, if you're fighting the good fight, you just got to use it. You just got to use it. You say, what? Oh, yeah. Now, I'm not talking about getting a real sword and going out and cutting people up. Amen. Hello? But I'm talking about this. I see men and women of God that is the biggest cowards in the world we live in right now. Cowards. Ain't got a bit of courageousness in them. They're cowards. They hear something that they know is not biblical and they won't say a word about it. You know what they'll do? They'll shut up and go home and not say nothing. Well, it ain't none of my business. But you let something come on, ain't got nothing to do with the Word of God. It's all in our business. What am I supposed to do, preacher? You're supposed to stand on that Word of God. You're supposed to know that Scripture. You're supposed to trust it, and you're supposed to use it for the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, what will that do me any good? It'll do you good to get a backbone and stand up and say, that's not right, and we're not going that way. We're going to stand on what the book says, Miss Patsy, and we're going to lead it that way. You say, preacher, does it help you in your life? It does me a lot of good when I can back it up with Scripture. Amen. Not only do I know it, not only do I trust it, but I use it. I use it on a daily basis. I want to give you this in the Bible. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12 to be able to use that Word of God. There's going to come a time in your life that you've got to use that Word. You've got to stand on it if you're going to fight this good fight. You've done flee corruption. You're following closely. You're right there where God would have you to be. You're trying to live righteous. You're trying to do what God's called you to do. You say, well, ain't none of us righteous. No, not one. I agree 100%. But when you got born again, you got clothed in the righteousness of God. Now that excuse is out the door now. To follow courageously. Walk the way he'd want you to walk. Watch my mouth. Everybody in this room, that's our problem. This right here. An old long loose tongue will sink the ship quicker than anything. You know how you know when you hit something? It's quiet. It's quiet. It's quiet. My mama always told me this. If you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say nothing at. Oh. This morning I want to give you this. I want to show you this in the Word of God. That we got to get to the place that we're following so close with God that we're not letting the things of this world bother us and what's going on. You can't fix the world, and I can't fix the world, but he can. Your thoughts and your opinions won't fix it, but the Word of God will. What fixed my wayward soul, Brother Les? The Word of God. When it got planted down deep into my soul. And I want to show you this. Not only do we know it, not only do we trust it, but we use it. We stand on it. There's going to come a day you're going to have a kid, parents, that's going to want to know why you go to church and why you do what you do. They're going to want to know. You got to trust the process. You got to trust Christ Jesus that he's doing the work and you're not. Man, he'll work through you this morning. I'm telling you that. I'm talking to some daddy in here right now. Man, I'm telling you what. You want to be so courageous. You want to step up to the plate and you want to lead your home in the right way. Can I say to you, don't want to do it, just do it. Let me show you this in the Bible. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12 this morning. Let me show you this, what the Bible says. He said, for the word of God is quick. That word is quick. It'll get where you can't get. For the word of God is quick, it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. This morning, that word, when you know it and you trust it and you use it, God can move in your life in a mighty way. Go back with me to the text this morning. I want to show you something else before we get to the time of invitation. I want to show you this. You got to get to the place in your life that you flee corruption, you follow closely, you fight courageously, because you got a father that cares about you. You got a father that cares. Paul told young Timothy, and not necessarily in his age, 10, 11, 12, not that kind of age, in his spiritual age. A lot of times you'll hear people preach about Timothy that he was young in age-wise. He was young and spiritually. He was young spiritually. And Paul told him, he said, don't let how young you are be afraid of how you stand. Don't let that happen in your life. And here's what he said. He said, because you got a father that cares. Look with me in verse number 13 of the text. You said, why should I stand up against the world? Why should I stand up in things that ain't right, preacher? Because you had a Savior that did. Look what he said in verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickened all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession or a good profession. When Jesus was before Pontius Pilate, you know what he did? He spoke a good profession. So they say that you're the Son of God. Is that true? He said, you say that I am. You say that I am. That thou keepest this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. 1 Timothy 6:15. He said, preacher, what should I do? You got a father that cares. This morning, if you got corruption in your life, throw it on the father. This morning, if you need to get closer, throw it on the father. This morning, if you need to fight more courageously, throw it on the father. Every time. I've got something new when I pray. What I do, if somebody's sick with cancer or whatever, we usually pray, Lord, take it and cast it as far as the east is from the west. I say, Lord God, whatever sickness, whatever they got on, disease, addiction, whatever they got going on, please, please put it on your son Jesus. Why? He's the only one who can handle it. I remember Brother Garrett was singing a song, you can't cross the bloodline. If I put my problems and my pain and everything I got going on and I cast it on Jesus, I know he can take care of it. I know he's the one that can take care of it. He can take care of all things. You say, preacher, do you believe that? Yes, I do. Let me show you this. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 7. You've got a father that cares. 1 Peter 5, 7, the Bible says, casting all. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. If you've got a care this morning, we're going to give a time of invitation. Why not cast it all on him? We fight the good fight for his honor, his glory, and his kingdom. I want to say to you, the Bible says he's the only potentate. You say, what is that, preacher? He's the only chief. You ain't got but one chief in your life, and that's God. He's the only leader. If you need to be led, he's the one to do the leading. The only potentate means he's the only head. There's nobody over him. He is the head. He is the only king. He's the only king. He is the only Lord. There is no other. He says in verse 16, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. And here's what he told young Timothy. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good and they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. I see we have corruption to flee. In this world, you can get on TV and there's corruption everywhere. you and I ought not be caught up in none of that. We got a corruption to flee. We got a name to uphold. And it ain't your last name. It's that you're a Christian. Got a name to uphold. Flee corruption. Get away from that mess. Get away. Whatever brings corruption in your life, if it's your phone, if it's your TV, if it's who's calling you, if it's your radio, whatever's bringing that into your inner circle, get it away. Get it away. Get that mess out of there. You don't need that. If you're going to fight the good fight, that corruption can't be in your inner circle. Follow closely. He said, preacher, I don't know how close I can follow. You can follow as close as you want to get. You can get as close to God as you want to get, or you can get far away as you want to get. Whatever you want to do. You can be right there, I'm talking about laying your head on his breast, or you can be over there way off in the middle of nowhere. You can be as close as you want to be this morning. Flee corruption. Follow closely. Fight courageously. Fight. Man, I'm telling you. You make sure that you're fighting for your family. You make sure you're fighting for your marriage. You make sure you're fighting for your kids. Make sure you're fighting for Christ Jesus most of all. Fight. Use that word. When the devil comes against you, use that word. Use it on him. That's the only thing that will defeat him. He's not scared of you. He's not scared of me. But he is. He does terrify at the word of God. Use that word. Because you got a father that cares. You got a father that cares. I heard a story told one time, and I may have told it here. Heard a story told one time about a mama. A mama had a little girl, and down her face was a humongous scar right across that mama's face. I'm talking about a nasty scar. Growing up, the little girl didn't notice the scar that bad growing up. Didn't notice that scar that bad growing up. But as she got older, she heard the other little kids in school talking about her mama and that old nasty scar that was ripped down her face. And the little girl didn't want to carry the mama out in public, didn't want anybody to know that that was her mama because of the scars that the mama had on her body. And the mama finally figured out every time they'd have a little Valentine's banquet party or whatever going on at school, anything, all the other kids have their mama there, but she wouldn't take her mama because of that old nasty scar. The mama finally understood what was going on, and she set her down and she said, it's probably time for me to tell you what happened. Said when you was a little girl, helpless and didn't know what to do, our home was on fire and it was burning real bad. And said, I took in to get you and it was on fire. And when I grabbed you, it started falling in. As I got almost out the door, a piece of wood that was on fire caught me. I had you covered up so you didn't get caught up in it. I had you covered up. And that piece of wood caught me on the face and it scarred me. And the only reason I carried this scar, hon, is because I love you. The only reason I've got this on my face is because I love you. I cared about you. Now I'm talking to somebody in this room that you know you've got corruption in your life. It needs to be a goal. You need to get closer. You need to start fighting because you got a father that cares. He said, preacher, I don't let people know that I'm a child of God. I just come in here and show it. Listen to me. He's nothing to be ashamed of. He's nothing to be ashamed of. Them scars that is in his hands is because of you and because of me. Them scars that's in his side is because of you and it's because of me. Them nails that he had, that crown of thorns, Brother Hagin, was because of you and because of me. There's nothing to be ashamed of. You got a father that cares. So I'm asking you, are you fighting a good fight or does sometimes you cower down because you're ashamed? Listen, you got a father you don't need to be ashamed of. Because my Bible tells me, whew, that if I'm ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of me. But if I'll confess him, he'll confess me before his Father which is in heaven. This morning I want to ask you, why ain't you fighting? Why ain't you fighting? Man, I look around here, I see some men that will fight over anything. But cower down when it comes to the Word of God. Cower down when it comes to the Word of God. We'll stand up at any council meeting. Stand up at any ball game and shout for their team. But when it comes to God, they cower down. Why? Because we really don't believe what we're teaching our kids. We really don't believe that we're in a good fight. Can I say to you, Christianity ain't something we do on Sunday morning. Christianity ain't something we do, Brother Heath Butler, on Sunday nights. Ain't something we just do on Wednesday. It's something we do every day of our life. We fight. We fight for it. We fight for what God's done. We fight for what he's done in our life, and we're not ashamed of him. And no matter what comes our way, he said, now, oh man of God, flee. Flee these things. Follow closely and fight the good fight of faith. If I'm talking to you this morning, Daddy, and you say, "Preacher, man, I got to get to fighting," I want you to come to this altar here in just a moment. If I'm talking to a mama that's, "Man, I just need some more fight put in me," listen, he'll give you all you want this morning. He'll give you all you want this morning. But he said this, "Oh, flee corrupt things." Who am I talking to this morning? Man, that's been on my heart so much. So much. A while ago, Brother Boyd had not a clue what I was going to preach on. "Brother Boyd, you still got that in your pocket? Come on up here, sister. Somebody pray with this lady when she comes to this altar. Come on now, let's don't look around. Hey, let's look up, amen. Hey, somebody get up there and pray with her right there at that altar. Brother Boyd had a dime in his pocket. You got that dime, Brother Boyd? Brother Boyd had a dime in his pocket. He's done put it in the plate. I guarantee he's going to say that. He said, all God requires out of that dollar that you make all week long is a dime. You keep the 90, he gets just 10 of it. He brought that dime out in the prayer room. He said, all he wants is a dime. He don't want much from you. He just wants you. He don't want much from you. He just wants you. I wonder who I'm talking to this morning. You think God's wanting everything you got, and all he really wants is you. If that's who I'm talking to this morning, I'm going to ask you to come to this altar. Let somebody pray with you. But more than that, let God answer every prayer in your life. Amen. As we stand this morning, Father, I love you. Lord, I thank you that the Holy Ghost is here this morning. Lord God, I thank you that that scar that's in your hands, that the crown of thorns that was on your head, Lord God, when they shoved that spear into your side, Lord God, what you did on the cross of Calvary, it was enough. It was enough. It was enough. It's enough. It's enough. Lord God, I pray somebody gets a hold of it this morning and say, "I've had enough. All I want is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." He's the sweetest friend I know. Oh, he's the sweetest friend I know. Lord, if that be somebody this morning, let them come to this altar. Lord, as Brother Garrett sung, you can be saved. You can be saved. You can be saved and be miserable. Be saved and be miserable. And you can be lost and be miserable. This morning, drag them to the altar, Father. Let the Holy Ghost get a hold of them. Let them not be under preacher conviction. Let them be under Holy Ghost conviction. We ask it in Jesus' holy, precious name. All of God's people say it. Amen and amen. As we sing, oh Jesus, bless it this morning. Bless it, hallelujah. The altar's open.